That's the last talk of today. How is techno being performed live? This is done by, I will butcher this name massively, sorry for that, Wittelbrimft, whoever came up with this name. Well, he's doing electronic music for 10 years now, and especially techno. For some people, this seems to be actual music. We like us very much, as you can see. And he will show us how this is actually being done and how his personal setup will look like. And today evening, with the beginning at around 22 o'clock, he will also perform his live set. Have fun. Yeah, how is electronic music being performed live? That's a question that comes up when you have created some electronic music at home at your computer and also want to perform it live at some point in time. And when I had my first 15 tracks ready on my tracker, then the question came up and I asked my pal, yeah, how can I do this live? I have no idea. And to be honest, I still don't have a very good clue about how this is being done properly, but this I'm showing my approach here. There are a few categories that I found out for myself. This is not necessarily correct, but from my perspective, there are DJs. Sometimes they produce music. They typically have two or more players. For example, classic vinyl players or CDJs, where you can digitally swap through the songs, and that's the classic workflow we see since the 90s. And then there's a workflow I myself call in the box. That's a workflow that's stored within the PC. And then there's another flow, the classic band flow. This is a setup where I perform with different people, like in a band, and each of them are playing an individual instrument, like a keyboard. And then there's this category of custom setups, which is not really easily unifiable in some way. And that's one of the approaches I find very interesting for myself. That's an example of a DJ setup with two players and a mixer in the middle. And some names you might know are Sven Väth, Jeff Mills, quite important names in the techno music, or DVS1, that's a person which is quite important right now. And then the in-the-box approach means, yeah, I have a computer and some external outboard equipment, for example, a launch board, and it sends some signals to the PC, and I can control it in my digital audio workstation. And if I have some drum sounds, for example, then each time I'm hitting one of these buttons, I'm triggering a sound. That's a classic workflow. Sometimes I also have whole loops on one of these buttons. For example, a bass loop or a drum or a complete drum loop with kick, snare, and hi-hat, and everything else you want to have in there.
was man da irgendwie erwähnen kann, denn so Richie Horton,
and
Mouse, Tale of Us.
Well-known names in this category are Richie Horton, Deadmau5 or Tale of Us. They also have a huge light show, and this is very impressive, but if you talk to them in an interview or so, they say, yeah, I just press a button and everything works out automatically. But that's only a partly true, because they can also make sections longer or shorter or have some sort of creative free room. For example, if you look at videos from Deadmau5 on YouTube, then there's a huge custom light installation. That's really, really interesting. Richie Horton is not always in this in-the-box setup, but he combines it with the classical DJ approach. So there's not a really sharp differentiation between these two categories. It's always possible to intermix them. Then the classical band situation, there are a few people on the stage, maybe four persons are playing synthesizers and they do it together. And for example, from Nürnberg, there's the Japanische Clubocke, an important name from that region. The Prodigy is a good example, or Klangphonics. Probably you have seen them as some sort of meme where they were recording sounds and making music with a pressure washer, for example, and putting drums on top of it. A very classical Kraftwerk. There are one, two, three, four people on the stage. They hit buttons on their synthesizers and they just play along. And then there's this what I call a custom setup. This is when people take a lot of technical stuff interconnected randomly and by a miracle some music comes out. And there are also a few very well-known names, for example, Lukmam No Computer. He has huge cabinets of electronics on the stage. There's Okta. That uses a setup with very small boxes that are interconnected very widely. There's Julia Bonda, one of my personal favorites. She is from Barcelona and she has a very unique style and also distributes their own synthesizer brand. And also myself. Well, in general, you can say that there is some sort of continuum between very hard-coded, hard-scripted procedures where I just hit play and the computer is doing something, or my sequencer is working some sort of things out and I just modify the overall sound of the synthesizer voices or of the drums. And that's a very scripted approach. You have a few degrees of freedom. That's especially important if you see, okay, the people are really, really happy with the mood today and you just want to adapt to that. And this is where we are going more in the improvised approach. And there's also a completely improvised setup where, for example, have a jazz band and somebody is playing a synthesizer and others are just dynamically joining in, playing a cool bass line, and this creates a whole jamming situation, basically. And this whole spectrum is covered by electronic music. And in my case, I try to be a little bit farther away from hard scripted approaches, but I wanted to make something where I can be creative and have a lot of degrees of freedom, where I can design my own sounds and where I can be flexible in my arrangements. But at the same time, I don't. I really get along with only two hands. And that's in the end a compromise I have to make. In the general concept, or one general concept I want to explain you is there are three different types of signals. At the first, there is MIDI, which is basically tunes, digitized tunes. It's a protocol from 1984. It's a serial protocol, and you send basically individual notes or tunes to an instrument, and the instrument interprets that. So I can do this on my computer with plugins, or I can also send this information to another external device. And some devices also use MIDI internally, for example, a sequencer, which is a functional unit that can sequence individual tunes or notes and subsequently sends them to an external device, which converts that into actual sound. Typically, if you work with hardware that has an analog core, a MIDI signal is mostly always converted into a control voltage signal, which is a voltage between 0 and 12 volt, for example. And this is, for example, something I can represent the pitch of the tune. If I play a C2 on my piano, and this might have a certain value of voltage, and the C3 may have 2 volts or something like that. And this is how I can basically represent these tunes. Other types of control voltages are gates and triggers. A trigger is some sort of Dirac impulse, and a gate is something I open for a certain time and close it again. You, for example, hold down the key on a piano, and while you're doing that, the note is hearable, and as soon as you release the button, then it stops again. And then there's also audio. This is in the end where we want to get with all that system. If you look back to the example of our DJs with the two players, there's some audio coming out of them. This goes into a mixer, and then you can work with effects and filters and add or remove things. Yeah. My very concrete tech stack is a sequencer. That's a control unit which I can use to send notes to a synthesizer. The synthesizer also has a clock generator where you can control the tempo, and there are sequences that can be played in this piece of hardware. And I'm using MIDI. I plug it into the synthesizer system. There are different converters in there that convert MIDI into control voltages. There are also some converters that can consume the time information. That's also part of the system. I have components that actually require time information. That's what's happening here. So this is my arrangement window, so to say. This is in which order I want to have things happen, and this is also where I can compose my samples, for example, a happy melody or a very dark bass line or something like that. I also have a second MIDI device in my stack. This is a controller that has the properties of a classical mixer, and with this device I can control certain parameters. It gets information from here, and then it goes over to the PC where I have some software running, and I can control the volume of individual channels of my synthesizer. I can control the amount of delay, the amount of reverb, and can design my sounds and bring some life into my performance.
Right, so my modular system, you can see this box behind me right here. So on a high level view, you receive a digital MIDI signal, you change that to a CV, and then you have the different voices. For example, you have a bass voice, which works by having a separate bass voice. I'm doing electronic music, which is quite bass heavy. I have two voices for drums, for example, a kick drum that I can tell to do things and then something's happening. And in the end, I have a digital converter that I can use to sum everything together in the computer, because it's basically just one large audio interface. So basically, software stack. I have a relatively simple software stack. I use Amphetamine, which is the only thing that doesn't have anything to do with music. It is a program that prevents the computer to go into sleep or power save. It was previously called Caffeine, but that was discontinued, and so we now have Amphetamine, which was removed from the App Store probably because of the name. Other than that, I use Ableton Live. Who would have thought? That's basically like the major software in this area, in the area of electronic music. I exclusively use plugins that come with the software. That's generally a thing that it's a large corporation. They can test things, and they can produce stable software, and they deliver stable software. And if you start to go to third-party developers, no matter how cool they are, you have the possibility that there are certain failures that can happen, like very sharp noises that can happen at club volume levels, which can be dangerous. And basically, you can do everything with those plugins. Some of them are more colorful, more powerful, but you can do everything. Ableton can basically do all of the things you want to do for this. So the question that I receive sometimes, so basically I'm using this not when I'm performing, but it's nice to visualize things, the MIDI visualizer. So right, that's basically my software stack. And now I would like to show you some of the processes for what I can do with the voices, how I can change it, how I can do sound design things with this setup. And yeah, let's do that now. One short moment, I think he's setting some stuff up.
Genau. Also.
Okay, so what you can see here is Ableton, basically. We have the different instruments here that I'm using in this case. From the left, I have the kick drum, the other drums I'm using. I have different synthesizer voices, and then in the end, I have some shenanigans that I will be talking about later. So if I start up the sequencer that I have here, what you can hear is the kick drum, basically. So basically this is outputted via MIDI and then goes into one of those modules. I have one module that, for example, produces a kick drum sound, and you can play around with this a little bit. I can change the sound. I can change the pitch of the tune. I can give it the vibe that I want to create with this. In addition to that, the kick module receives a clock time signal because it can do another little trick, theoretically. So, what you can hear is that it can create a synchronized echo. So you can do like a driving groove. I can configure these echoes in whichever way I want to, depending on the timing I want to have this. And this is pretty similar to, or we can create something that's pretty similar to the standard techno bars that you might be used to. All right, so what is this? And so what I have right here is the next group that I have is drums. I can also play those tunes at the same time. I'll show you the thing. I have pre-configured clips, pre-configured sequences that I can trigger by clicking on them. And so basically every 8 counts, the new state that I've set will be applied. So for techno music, for example, you don't need to rush things. You can basically think ahead that when the next time something happens, I can configure this in advance and then have it happen after a certain time. And then in the meantime, I can basically go on to configure other things that I would like to have. And so that I can use that to prepare, basically, to perform with certain things that I want. So what I've done is I'm also playing a clap at the same time right now. Right, so it appears I have a broken storage card. This is unfortunately one of the issues that you have with one of those systems. You have a lot of debugging that you have. And I've noticed before that there was an issue with this storage card. So unfortunately we will not be having any drums except for the kick drum right now. So then, so we do have a few drums, actually. I have a analog generator for metallic percussion systems. It's a metallic percussion generator. A friend of mine gifted this to me, and I can't find this thing on the internet anymore. The manufacturer seems to be just some guy making this thing at home, and I can use this to do things like this, for example. And so what you can notice here is that on top of the signal there's an echo. And so the echo is generated by the computer. I can give you the dry signal. So this is the actual signal that you're hearing. And so with the echo, I can give this some more contours. And of course, I've forgotten to tell the echo to synchronize with the clock signal. If anyone from Ableton is listening, can you please make sure that when I save the set, that this button here is not saved? So this thing has a couple of oscillators or signal generators that get piped through a shared volume curve, so I can change the length of the signal, I can change the color of the signal. And I can use this to create interesting noises. Right, so for electronic dance music, what's important is the bass. So this is coming from in 4/4 beat, and I've developed kind of my own techniques or my own plan. So basically, right here I have some bass patterns, for example, like this. So this off bass, for example, that you've heard 4 billion times already. And I'm sending this into a relatively basic synthesizer voice, and I can play around with this a little bit, as you can hear right now. I can apply a filter to this. I can shorten the signal, I can tell it to not start right away, I can tell it to slowly open and then close again. I can change the waveforms that I want to apply to this. I can let the filter screech. And so using this, I have a dedicated feel where I can do sound design and I can build a bass sound for a bass line that I want to have, and I can create a specific acoustic signal that I want to have. And I can use this to, for example, apply an echo to this. For the drive in the electronic dance music that you have in techno, for example, lives a lot from this ebbing echo that creates drive and has a certain charm to it. And so basically I have the sort of the similar rhythm for different voices as well, so I can set a second voice, which is going to happen about 3 bars from now. And I can tell the system to, for example, give me a bit more sound in the middle. And so now I have a second voice on top of this. And so I can make some sounds happen there. And then, you know, I can use this to get another degree of freedom to manipulate things. And I have a third voice as well, which is, you know, not much more interesting. It's like a digital magical voice that is actually open source at this point from Behringer, which is a cheap producer which has been cloned as well. I don't have this one specifically, but one of the it's basically one of the classics you will find. And so this is basically playing the same pattern. We still have a lot of echo on this. No, it's actually playing a different pattern. It's a slightly different pattern that I've applied here, and so I can use this to, if I'm not playing in the like the bass area, or if I'm playing in the bass area, I can do some like mushy textures in this space right there. Even more interesting is when I take the first voice and I let the first voice and the second voice play different things. I'm bringing the bass back here a little bit. I'm not sure which one I applied there as well. So basically at the low end I have the bass line doing things, and then on top of that I have a different noise I'm playing. And basically I can apply a filter and I can make other things happen there. And so then what I have as well is another module that I'm not bringing out into my sequencer because it has an inbuilt sequencer, basically. It's 2x8 potentiometers that are soldered next to each other, and I can change the velocity and pitch, so velocity and pitch of the noise that the system is generating. Where do I have to turn here? Well, so what I can do is I can create very weird noises. So in and of itself it sounds very bad. What is this supposed to be? So my idea behind this is so that was my initial impression. And so, but in the context, for example, it sounds a lot more interesting if you're doing something with this. So as soon as this is sort of embedded into a context and it's been tamed a little bit, it sounds a lot more interesting, it sounds a lot more lively. And you have the same sort of playroom that you have there. I can go there and I can apply a filter to the sound, I can bring it to the front a bit more, I can emphasize it a bit more. I can change the sequence and get different noises as well. I can put sort of more harmonics into the sound if I want to. I can even leave out the melody and just use the white noise. So my drum module, unfortunately the drums are broken, but as you can see it's not a problem. I have enough drums here ready already. And so unexpected things that happen like this, I can work with that, or I can work around that. And so the exact same module I have patched into the effects module. And so this is like a kind of a magic device that it's actually called like a vocoder, which will make you sound like Daft Punk. I'm not going to speak into this because I don't have a microphone with me, but you can do a lot of weird things with the inbuilt filters by exciting the filters and change the filters with the options that you have available. I have a low fidelity oscillator, which is a oscillator that doesn't operate in the audible frequency ranges and is a lot more quiet. And I can tell it to basically do things for me, like move the audio up and then, or move the pitch up and move the pitch down. And I can use this to make the sound less boring, and it's actually doing things that it's supposed to be doing. So I have, additionally to that, I have a audio interface that doesn't just have inputs, it has lots of outputs. In my computer I have four relatively nice sounds that I've built together, and I can trigger this via a button on this board, and it's harmonic quints. It's a relatively simple musical concept. And so instead of the white noise, I can use an external input. Let me quickly... So, I'm not sure why it's not doing what I wanted to do. Right, so previously I've tried to do audio via HDMI, but it didn't work and it basically broke the entire audio setup. So if I have the digital sound created in the computer, it gets sent to the module that's doing the hi-hat. And I can go there. And so I can create like a melodic harmonic sound using that. And with this MIDI controller, I have a regulator to work with the sound designs that I've thrown together to basically switch between the sound designs. I'm using the same notes. I'm just changing settings in the software to give it different noises. And so I have a working sound using this system, and with this as well I can manipulate the sound and then change the sound design live and perform this and flexibly work with the rhythms that I've created. So some of you have noticed that we've basically for the last 20 minutes we've been working with this setup. I have some transpose keys set up that I'm using to send metadata to the voices to pitch up or pitch down, and then I've created patterns using this so that when I push the button, now we need to wait for the 8 bars to be finished. So then eventually it will jump up, which you can hear right now. And I can basically change all instruments at the same time, which have pretty simple rhythms at the same time, and make them play something else. And so apart from that, I have another module which doesn't actually make sound. It's a random generator, sort of, that works relatively structured. It's open source as well, actually. And the concept behind the module is that... I'm turning the volume down a bit. And the concept behind the module is that there's a random generator in this module, and they're sampled, so they're measured. And there is a sort of repeating pattern of randomness, and that could, for example, be half a bar or 3/4 of a bar. And I can take that signal and I can send it somewhere in this setup. For example, if I send this to the bass line, It can do like a slight modulation that turns this static, boring bass line that sounds like what people always say about techno, that it always sounds the same. It can turn it into something more lively, basically. So this is basically like the high-level technical rundown of this system. And so in the computer, as I said, I have like a reverb or echo and clock time information to make things more interesting. But additionally to that, I have sort of a magic trick. There is, so in EDM music, there is a concept of a sidechain. I will demonstrate this right here. So I'm going to change the setup. And, right, so as you can kind of hear right now, every time when the kick is triggering, the bass line ducks under the kick drum. So I have the option to duck the rest of the signal behind the kick drum. So you have this sort of wobbling or pumping noise that gets created. And it basically creates a groovy sound when you use it. And so I've just turned it off for a moment, and it instantly it becomes less groovy. And so I'm applying it a little bit again, and it gets more interesting. It's a bit subtle, but if I really turn it up, then it makes quite the difference. And to create this, you have the traditional way of taking the signal of the kick drum, the drum signal, and we trigger a curve that turns the volume up and down. In my case, I have the advantage that I can use the audio interface to use the kick trigger or the click trigger. And so right here, I have a meta track that you need to look at the small section here. I don't want to put this on the boxes because it sounds horrible. And basically it's just clicking this curve, and I can import this right here, and I can, for example, take the baseline. I can use a compressor module, and you can see in the curve over here that it's ducking the volume depending on the trigger that we receive from the signal. And apart from that, I will probably end the demo at this point. Is there any questions?
Wenn Fragen, dann Arm hoch.
If there's any questions, raise your arm, please.
Sieht nach Nein aus.
Does not look like there is any questions. I've given people enough time. Right, so I've expected a few questions, actually. I'll be playing later at the event, and I will be playing right here, but using less beamers and hopefully a functioning SD card, so I have some drums for the mix. I have a cool QR code. It will lead you to my website. It's quite a bit of a different style from what I've just shown you here, because I use quite a lot of different computers. And actually, we do have a question from the audience. Can you explain a bit more about your modules? Like, how many different modules do you have? What are the functions? Yeah, sure, I can do that. So is it basically like basic modules that manipulate the signal directly, or is there like digital modules that perform the manipulation? So I intentionally didn't mention any manufacturers in this case. I have a lot of relatively classic modules. This is my bass. It's a classic synthesizer concept. It's an analog synthesizer, one voice with an oscillator, switchable between sawtooth and other frequency shapes or curve shapes. In addition to that, I have a kick module that's entirely digital, actually. There's a storage card in there that is already worrying me a little bit. New fear unlocked for me in the last couple of weeks. And so this only works if it's playing, but it can do a lot of things on a very compact space. The echo, for example, the echo beat, it can do a lot of effects, like, for example, the DJ filter. And so from a performative view, it's quite useful. I have a relatively small, kind of goes in the direction of a 303 clone. I have a quite complex drum module, so you know, a lot of things combined into a single unit. You have a lot of effects like reverb and echoes. So yeah, it's basically partially digital, partially analog. You have multiple different tracks, three analog voices, and that's actually the only thing that I'm fully happy with this system, because, for example, the storage card is it's not the first time that this is causing problems. So I'm actually thinking on getting like an analog drum option. I have a MIDI converter, so I have a CV gate, so a control voltage gate. I have a digital synthesizer, a engine, and the random sampler. The manufacturer doesn't exist anymore, but it's open source. You can create the module yourself, solder it yourself. You can get the circuit boards. The metallic percussion generator, nobody actually knows who made that originally. Sounds quite cool. And then I have two pretty much complete modules that are vocoders and also, you know, sequencers, sequencer drum modules that I can use to create interesting hi-hat and other drum rhythms and sounds. So quite a variety, but one of the patterns that I personally really like is I have a lot of full voice modules. I really like that a lot because they compare quite well to each other, they complement each other quite well, and so I don't have to think too much how I need to combine filters and converters to get a good sound. Somebody else already thought of a specific sound that they wanted to create, and then I can basically use that as a base and then build on top of that setup. And I think so, me for myself, I played around with a lot of boxes on my desk, and I really don't like setting up 47 boxes and then you make a mistake and something goes up in smoke. And so that's basically why I went to the Eurorack direction, because it's quite combined. And so it's not just because you can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things in software on a computer as well. But using this machine, I can manually set what I would like to do, what I have fun with for an hour or two, depending on what I would like to play. So thank you very much. So if you perform live, do you play drum patterns or bass lines live, or do you create them live, or are they prepared previously? Right, so basically I've created a framework comprised of different elements that is already prepared, but I can compare them, I can apply them quite differently while I'm performing. I have four hi-hat tracks usually. I have a 4th, 8th, and 16th patterns, and I can freely combine those by pushing like a couple of buttons on my pad. And yeah, that will be applied when the next 8 bars are finished. And so the advantage is that I don't have to create the same thing every time again. I can basically just set the key and it will start playing it. I'm quite a bad piano player, so I don't have a piano keys here that I can use to play these things. And so that's why I use a lot of like basic patterns, because the performative gain compared to the effort that you need to create these things is, for me, it's not worth it to create it from scratch every time.
Now, if you're playing live and you notice, oh, I clicked something wrong. Do you notice that within the next few bars, or do you have a preview on your headphones? No, I don't have a preview on my phones. If I use phones, it's only for hearing protection, because otherwise, yeah, this wouldn't work that well. When I have my phones on, I can hear my tracks a little bit with a lower volume. I can see it. Sometimes I see that the keys are blinking in a certain pattern, and but sometimes I notice, okay, the effects I create might not have the form or way or structure I want to have them, and then I have to be creative and I have to think about, okay, I turn it off and I create some space, which I have to then use as a feature instead of a mistake. I'd like to know, first of all, very cool setup. It's very interesting. I'd like to know, there's some sort of very compact setup, because you are using a very large, a relatively large setup. For example, I have a Roland 808, but some stuff is missing there. For example, some synthesizers. And I ask myself, is there something more compact than what you do have here? There are much more compact setups. For example, this Octa-Octa I mentioned before, in the size of a cigarette box. And Octa-Octa uses one for drums, one for synths, and so on. If I want to use the modular setup or a similar modular like this one here, the option is to use smaller modules. Thing is, I have 3 quite large modules in my rack, and the whole system you are seeing there is the one half of the system you are seeing here is comprised of 3 modules, and the other half contains 8. So there are a few ways to remove to reduce the amount of equipment I have to carry around, but sometimes it helps if I want to have a very specific drum machine, then it's probably enough to have 2 or 3 additional synthesizer voices, and then you have a few smaller boxes you need to carry around. But I personally don't like that. I am fine with one larger box I carry around, and it's just one I have to deal with. I hope that this is not too technical, but sidechain ducking. Did you do this over a compressor? Yes, I did this over the compressor. So what are you controlling with the sidechain? Is it the compression ratio, or what exactly? What are you doing here? In my case, it has routing purposes.
Also ich habe
I have a sidechain module, and this receives the click trigger from the side, and I can use the ratio and can control the intensity of the effect here. If I increase it here, then the ratio goes to infinite. And in addition, I also have the release mapped to this sidechain signal, so I can make it very short cuts, or I can also create an effect where it's still a little bit more moving. Sometimes I just set up with one simple sidechain. It has to be enough for life. Sometimes I also use a decay module, which is controlled by a sidechain. But this gets very complex if you have a lot of modules. If you use 8 modules with a lot of sidechaining signals, this is creating a mess, and that's not what I like to do. My drum module, for example, supports this sort of routing. It can receive a stereo signal and then can duck in coordination with the drums in order to create some space in my sound. For example, if I have a classical studio production situation where I can do things in a little bit more dirty way, such that I can save the effort for live situations. Are there any other questions? Okay, it doesn't look like it. So I would like to thank you very much. I have a personal question, because, well, do you also walk around without a cap? Yes, I do that, but I do that rather seldom. I like to wear it. Okay, we clarify this afterwards. So please, have a warm applause. Thanks. In my opinion, you have been way too small. This was the last talk of today's evening. Have fun. And at 22 o'clock, we continue here with music.